Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the new
spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality Radio. My name is Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and as usual, I'd like to thank you and welcome you to the show. Today is going to be a very special day because I have a empowerment, transformational, and happiness coach. What? I'm really excited to speak with her because I think we have a lot in common. This show, Reality Spirituality, is about happiness and how to maintain happiness and how to experience more happiness in our lives, in our minute by minute, moment by moment, day to day, week to week, okay, month to month, year to year. Happiness. This show is about making choices in every moment to either choose drama, or you're choosing peace. Choosing happiness, or the opposite. It's about living consciously. It's about living with intention. And quite frankly, this has been my main focus, my main purpose, my main destiny. I've said this 100 times. Probably more than that. Sorry if you're a regular listener. But when I was younger, I wanted two things: to live to my potential, number one. And number two is just to be happy. And so my guest and I share that same intention. And not only to be happy, but to share with others as much as we can what we've learned on this path. My guest, Satya Kara, is a self-transformational empowerment and happiness coach. She's a spiritual guide. She's an international speaker and best-selling author. She's also the founder and president of a nonprofit organization, Path to Anadam, to help people to explore their internal happiness and peace within. One of the things that I read about her on her website, which really just touched my heart, It's her own message. And she says, "I had never dreamt nor I had intentions of doing this work. However, a message from the higher being prompted me to share my thoughts, vision, and resources. The world is large with a myriad of needs, and I know that I cannot fully reach out and make a difference everywhere. Yet if I could make a difference in a few people's lives and help them find internal happiness and peace, I will consider myself fortunate and blessed." And I'm going to add, and very successful, because the definition of success, number one, can only be defined by the individual. And number two, my definition of success is lying there on your deathbed, breathing your last breath, and you look back and you can smile and you're happy. She also says, "God has been very great to me. He has given me more than I could ever ask for in this lifetime. I thank him by sharing the blessings he's been bestowed on me." Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, Satya. Thank you so much for being here.
And thank you very much for bringing me to your show. I feel honored. And good morning to everybody, and namaste to everybody.
Before I go on, we didn't have a chance to chat before the show. How do I pronounce your name?
Satya.
Oh, Satya. Okay, perfect.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
My name is pronounced Satya, and the organization is pronounced as Anandam, Path to Anandam.
Aha. So you know what? I'm going to let you pronounce it from now on, because my memory will be is 2 minutes in, I will forget, but I will not forget your, how to pronounce your name. Can you give me a brief introduction of how you started on this journey?
Actually, I think I have been on this journey from very young age without even knowing that I was on that journey. Being raised in India, so much spirituality is around that I was absorbing it, and not only absorbing it, I saw my parents, and my father was very much into it. He was, most of the time, he was in silence, doing yoga, meditation, but at the same time, he was a very big businessman. So he would not waste even a single moment on anything which was not useful in life. And my mother was a practitioner of spirituality. Her ethics were so high, no blaming, no criticizing of anybody, and nobody could go hungry around our home. In fact, if she saw somebody who was not fed well, she will call them to our home. She will tell them, here is the water, here is the soap, you take a shower, and here is the food, you eat a food, and before they could pass on to our home. So I saw those goodness, spreading the goodness in the world without knowing, and my heart would melt all the time. And anything and every gift I would get from somebody, I would share it with other people rather than using it for myself. And I call that is the biggest part of the spirituality, because when you connect with the rest of the world, and it means you are connected inside, because if you are not connected, you would not care for anybody. And then when I came to the United States in 1969, I kind of felt lost, because I didn't have any place to go to pray, because we had a lot of temples in India, and also came and a lot of constraints from financial part, as well as the language part, as well as the weather part, because we came to Chicago, and that year the temperature was like minus 60, and I was not used to that weather.
Hold on a second. Let me just go back, because I want to, what you said was really fascinating. I've never really thought about this before, but you were raised in a home where your father was silent. I mean, what you said, most of the time, and going inward, and your mother was always giving. And that is so important, because I can't even I can't even imagine growing up in an environment where at an early age you're taught all of this, or you're not taught, but you're exposed to all of this. And it became who you are also. That's really huge, because I've had to learn what you said at a later age.
Yes, yes. And not only that, I observed whenever there was a situation, my mother would say, why don't you go and feed this person? Why don't you do this, help this person? And when I was growing up, even if I was, when I was 8 year, 9 year old, when I finished the chores at the home, then she will say, now go to your aunt's house. She has a small kid and she needs help, so go and help her out. So she would always send me to help people. And I was the person, kind of grew up with as a help to everybody in the community. They would look for my summer vacation, so I should go and help them out, because that's the way I was brought up, helping others.
Now that could also be an issue when you get a little bit older, only because Number one, you have to, in my opinion, you have to help yourself, and then you can help others, or you have to grow yourself, and then you share what you've learned. But you said something else about your mother never criticizing others, and that to me, I grew up in a home where that's all we did was criticize other people and criticize the world and criticize politics. It was always a critical household, and so I learned not only to criticize others but to criticize myself.
You know, that's what the focus was. Actually, I didn't explain it well, but my mother used to say, anything, if you want to criticize, you criticize yourself. And that's what Bhagavad Gita says, that you are the mirror of yourself. And do not blame anybody. Do not criticize. But if you do not like something and it is right and should not be done in the community or for you, and also become an activist rather than complaining and wasting your time. And because when we criticize other people, I come from a science background as well, and I am a biochemist. I serve the biotechnology arena in the cancer arena for 35 years. And when I left that corporate world, I mean, to me, I practiced the spirituality in my corporate world, but the criticism was like, you learn what is the problem and focus on the solution of the problem rather than getting bogged down. Why this, why people do this, why? And I'm still very hard, as you said. First, we have to become, we have to gain the strength ourselves rather than before we help others. So we have to help ourselves. And that's the one thing I would say when I came to USA, I kind of, and maybe I grew up with that, I was paying more attention to other people and not paying attention to myself, and which I paid a high price of ignoring myself and then some health issues and things like that. So I learned over a period of time that I have to have my own health. And I give a good analogy that first I have to build my own saving account or checking account before I can withdraw the money. So in other words, to have a good mental status and happy myself before I can give the happiness to others.
That's right.
That's why I formed that organization called Path to Anandam. Anandam means eternal happiness, blissful state. So I have to be happy myself before I can give it to other people. Otherwise, if I'm unhappy, I'll be spreading unhappy to other people.
Okay, so you know what? Listen, we're on the same page here, and I have a question, because when I was listening to you talking about when you were younger, you know, giving, I thought to myself, well, that's going to turn into somebody that is giving and more concerned with others before, you know, they use the term here, people pleaser. That's a label, but the people thing. And what happens is, with the people pleasers that I know, is that it's like you just said earlier, you really do have to start within. Now, another thing that you said, which is, it takes time, and that's one of the most important to stress, is that transformation, evolution, growth, all of this, all of the things that you're sharing with us now at this stage, it has all happened over time. And one of the things that I had a problem with is just being impatient and wanting things now and wanting this transformation now. And patience is part of, not part of, but is a huge part of growing. Can you speak a little bit about patience and how to become more patient?
Very good question. As I always say, spirituality or anything you do in life, it's not a quick fix. It's not like a Starbucks coffee, you go walk in and bring it. You know, it is a gradual, one small step at a time. And in order to do that, we have to have a lot of patience, but a lot of patience does not come automatically. If we have an action plan, then patience comes automatically. For example, if I want to develop a habit, which I had a big time here after coming from India, saying thank you to anybody was not a part of our culture, and it is still not a part of that much in culture, because if we say thank you to other person, it means we nullify whatever that person has done for us, and we are just, like in India, if you tell somebody thank you, family people will get very offended because they say it means we are not your family members. The thank you is for outsiders, not for the your intimate family or your the close friends and things like that. So I was coming with that notion that saying thank you to somebody, I am nullifying and I'm insulting them. So I
wow, okay, you know, I have never heard that one before. That is really important too. It's and it listen to me, one of the things that I always talk about is how different we all are, and I can't even pretend to get into somebody else's skin, but you're saying that you were raised that saying thank you is an insult.
Correct. So what I did, when I came here, and people do it, and they do nice things for me and things, and I would walk away, or I just smile, but not say thank you. And I could see the something on their face. So finally, I asked people, what are the things, you know, I figured out that something was not doing right. So I figured out that I was not saying the thank you, or somebody said it very politely to me, that if I could say thank you more often, that will help. So I start thinking about it. So what I did, I mean, just giving you an example how I developed this transformation of this habit of mine with the patience, that I would, in the morning, I will just write down on my piece of paper and thank you, and I would have it in my pocket. And every time, I will remind myself that I have to say thank you. So I started saying thank you like 2 times in a day, then 4 times, then 6 times, 10 times. So every day what I did, in the evening I sat down, I evaluated it and say, okay, how many times I said thank you and how many times I missed it. Okay, tomorrow I will do it better. Tomorrow I will better. So instead of pounding myself that, I didn't do it. No, I did it 2 times today. That's okay. Tomorrow is another day. I will do it 4 times. So every day I kind of focus on that. And gradually I came, my not thanking people, I got rid of that habit. So the point I'm making is my focus was more on my action plan. And I always tell people, and one of my teaching is anything I teach it based on the 3 A's, which is like a triple A, you know. And one A is like a become aware. Awareness is the key to everything. And accept it. Like I become aware that I'm not saying thank you. Then I accepted it. Yeah, this is different culture. So I must do something about it. And then action for correction. So I took the action in my hand and I came up with a plan. And every day I was practicing it. In the evening I was evaluating, because evaluation or self-inquiry is a part of my teaching process or on this path. And then pray to God. Prayers are also a part of my teaching part. I thank to God for bringing me on this path and also help me. Next morning I will pray to God that, God, please help me to say more thank you today. Please remind me. So I kind of become a company to God, and I bring God in everything I do. So I say, okay, you and I are partner here. So whatever I do, please guide me. Give me a good wisdom so I do not sidetrack. So these are all part of the process. So when I am focusing on that, then patience become a less of an issue because my focus is more on the action, on correction, but I still remind myself with Satya Sai Baba always says, do not rush, have patience, and this is haste creates waste.
Ooh-wee! Good, good stuff. And listen, we are saying the same things, but just differently. I talk about people that are, they get to their profession, the top of their field, the sports, the basketball, the Michael Jordans, the LeBron James. We have a couple of prize fighters going on tonight. Was it Mayweather and Pacquiao? All of these people, doctors, surgeons, musicians, every practicing instruments, the people that are playing in the orchestras. Everybody has to practice. Practice what they are, like you said, focus on being aware, and not only practice patience, but practice all of it. Practice, how about practice not, because one of my things is not labeling anything. How about practicing not judging? How about practicing not blaming, not criticizing? How about practicing accepting everyone with open arms? And how about practicing, you said this also, asking the universe, you say God, Bubba, is the same term for all of the things that you are working on. It is about practice. It is about asking and being aware. I mean, we're saying the same things here.
Yeah.
It's great.
Want to add to the practice and all of my books have a 30 days planner, daily planner on the back, and whatever habit I want to change, I just put it there and then kind of practice whole week or whatever I do. And even sometimes some of the habits take whole month, 30 days to practice. So I just take one thing at a time, and this is a part of my teachings, that take one thing at a time, focus on it, and whatever you want to change, you are the master of your life.
Yeah.
So just practice it. Practice is the key. And also not the practice, but the right practice. Because sometimes if we don't know we are doing the right practice, we will develop a bad habit. So we have to make sure whatever we want to transform, and like in this mundane world, whatever we want to do, we want to just achieve, and prosperity. We become a prosperous. But the prosperity nowadays has a totally different meaning of it.
That's right.
Because the more bigger account, bank account you have, the more stocks you have, the bigger home you have, the bigger title you have, then you are more prosperous. But prosperity is, we could have all these things, but if we are inside unhappy, we are the most poorest person. So I always tell them prosperity is not just your bank account. It's not your big mansions or your big cars. But real prosperity is your happiness, your good health. And the more you are self-satisfied, the richer you are. And your self-contentment, your good health, wealth, wisdom, and your connection to Almighty. Which I call it Almighty, your connection to within yourself, because the power within ourselves, when we are connected, we are totally, we don't even realize, but our life becomes so effortless. Whatever we do, you don't have to make the phone calls, you don't have to do things. It's just like you are on somebody's wagon and you are just taking you around.
I want to add also, and I agree with everything except for one thing. But I want to say that, in fact, prosperity has nothing to do with wealth, has nothing to do with money, nothing to do with cars. It's like people, some people, scratch that. I used to think, because I don't like talking about other people, I used to think that was being prosperous, having money and having all that. But if you take And I've written this in my book. If you take thousands of dollars to one of these, you know, these countries where people are living off the land and they have to hunt for their food and they're you know, daily living off the land. And I said, oh, I walk over there with a couple thousand dollars. I say, this is really valuable. They would look at me like I'm a nut. Money, things are not valuable. But one of the things you said is about health. And I totally understand what you're saying, but I don't have control over my health. And there are some people that are happy even though they are quote-unquote unhealthy based on circumstances. Maybe they are in a situation where they're not able to walk, or they're not able to get out in society, or maybe they're born with an unhealthy. Maybe they have some type of health issues, but they still can be happy. So I would always say that the happiness, well, look at all this and all that noise. The happiness comes from within, and everything else. Happiness is number one, and everything else is just just icing on the cake.
You just said it, icing on the cake. And when I say prosperity, money is a part of life. Money has to be there wherever. I mean, I cannot even drive my car if I do not have money to put the gas in my car. That's the basic need of the mundane world. So money is a part of it, especially in USA. I mean, every country has a different needs. I mean, if you go to the undeveloped countries or the countries which need more resources, in those countries, the food is a basic need. In USA, at least, we are not struggling with those things. But money is money. Without money, you cannot even move anywhere in the world. So money is the part of it. But earning the money righteous way, not cheating, not stabbing people on their backs, that mental peace will give you. And when it comes to the health, physically, people might not be healthy, and sometimes we all have those issues. Physically, I might not be sick. At one time, I was on bed for 6 months with my back, spine problems and my sciatica problems and all kind of things. But my only thing was I was working from the bed. Nobody knew that I am making phone calls from my bed. I'm stuck on the bed. But every morning, my status was, I'm so thankful to this Almighty. I could I could see, I could talk, and I had a problem going to the bathroom, so I needed the help over there. But rest of the things, I could do it. So I always focus on my rest of the body. Yes, my back is not working, but my mind is working, and I'm so thankful to all other things. So when we develop that inner contentment, inner peace, and if one thing is missing, there is I always say it, whatever comes in our life, there is a lesson to learn.
I was just going to ask you, what was your lesson? What was your lesson when you're on your back? That was what I was going to ask you.
My biggest lesson at that time was I had a habit, and I still sometimes get off the track. I work, and I do use my physical body, my mind, everything for the causes so much, and I do forget about my body. So it is a reminder for me that I have to calm down, and then I promise to Almighty, okay, this time if I'm fine, I will be good to my body. I will not abuse my body.
And wait a minute. And what does that mean? You'll be good. Does that mean you're going to do more exercise classes, more stretching classes? What does that mean specifically?
So what my biggest lesson was, and which is on my daily planner also, which I call it 60-minute program, and for 20 minutes I do the pranayama, which is the breathing exercises. And then yoga and 20-minute meditation. And also, I take a time for myself to sit down and relax and go into silence. And it used to be 60 minutes. Okay. Now my meditation program has become so extended, and to me, meditation is not just sitting and closing your eyes, but living in awareness, and then, of course, close the eyes and all that. So I have that program for myself. So whatever happens in life, this is my biggest lesson. There is a divine play. I have to be aware of divine play. There is a lesson for me to learn. So nothing happens without any reason.
I have to say that again because that's very important. Nothing happens for, I mean, everything happens for a reason, for a reason. And when I really began to realize that, believe that, trust that, know that, and surrender to it, that everything, including back problems, including financial things, all of it, it all happens for a reason, and for a great reason, for a reason that is going to serve you. And so when you really get that in every cell of your body, like you said earlier, life becomes easier. Satya, we have a few callers. Would you like to take, would you be open to taking calls from the audience?
Sure, I would love to do that.
Okay, hold on a second. We have a few callers here. I'm going to go to, I'm going to go to Jay. Jay, welcome to the show. You're live on Reality Spirituality. I recognize your prefix, Jay. Aren't you proud of me?
You're very good. Thank you.
After all these years. Jay, this is Satya. Welcome to the show. What's your question?
Hey, Satya. I just listened to your conversation, and I do actually practice what you're doing, too. Actually, I do a tantra meditation, and I also do the yoga, too, well, half an hour. Also, you're right about the practice aspect of it. So I just wondered about your spiritual wisdom. You know, what is your spiritual practice that opened up your wisdom to blissful living?
You know, as I said, when I was on the bed for 6 months, I looked at the big walls of the house, and and question was, how much this big walk, big home, my title means? And end of the day, it came to out, am I happy? What is missing in my life? And I realized everything I had abundance, but my happiness was not there. My happiness lasted very temporary, because when I set one goal, strive it toward it, focus is so much on reaching to the destination and not enjoying the journey. And when I reach there, I would be happy for a few days. And then all of a sudden, so what is next now? So what is next? What is next? What is next? And finally, it came to me, no more journey. All that is within me. And I went into a deep, deep searching myself and saying, I start counting my blessings. I have this, I have this, 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 this one minor thing. I mean, I don't have my back and I'm on the bed. That's why I'm unhappy. And then I was a CEO of the company. I founded companies. I was a chairperson of the company. Everything was going so well for me. And when I become the CEO, I mean, I wanted to become a CEO, so I became the CEO. I was on the top of the world. But after a month or so, or after a few days, so what? Of course, I had to take the responsibility. I have the title. I have all these things going for me. But inside something was missing for me. And finally, I realized, light bulb went on. This is all here within me. All is in my status of my mind. I am not sick. Even if I'm on bed, so what? I could walk again. And I start, I am very big on the visualization also. So I start walking, going on all these nice fancy parks, on the golf courses, walking around. And I pull myself out of the bed. So the point here is, what is it? I promise to myself that I will change my lifestyle little bit so I am more healthier. But the best thing was my status of my mind was very positive. I was not looking myself, I pounded myself again. I did not take care of myself or whatever the reasons are. No. What am I going to do? I always focus on the action. What can I do now? I have learned that here is the lesson for me. Be good to your body. And when I came out, I said, look, how many people might need this, my daily planner, which is totally keeps you on the track. How many people, the CEOs on the top, are feeling lonely and have nobody to speak to because they're on the top? And how much responsibility they have, go to work, come home, having children, taking care of them, and then the cooking, and life becomes imbalanced. So I have to align everything little by little, and I came up with a planner, and I came up with a plan and the program that it's not just I need it, other people need it too. So I start sharing all of my learning lesson with others. So my biggest lesson was, pay attention to what's happening. There is a message for you, and not only message, the bigger message is whatever you learn, now share with the rest of the world, because there are many people might not be able to figure it out or might not be aware of this is the issue in their life. So bring this awareness in their life. So my biggest lesson was, don't just sit in the corner and cry about it. Become an activist and do something about for yourself and also for others. I hope I answered your question. Is there anything else, Jay, want to know?
Well, it seems like I understand that a lot of knowledge and wisdom is coming out of that part of the world. And is it because of, the Buddhist teachings there too, or, the lifestyle also? Because, the lifestyle here in North America is completely different what's, in East, and how we actually view religion and spiritualism and growing. Because here it's kind of like, it's almost like a separate entity here in North America in certain sort of way, I feel, that we have our group of spiritual people and then we have the people who are, or just living their normal lives, I call it. So, I mean, I find there's separation also, too. Do you find that in India or those Eastern countries, it's more of they're complementary to each other? They're part of the makeup of the people there? They accept it of what's going on there? Just wonder what your thoughts are about that.
I absolutely agree with you. Spirituality and daily life is different. And my biggest problem was, even I grew up in India, the being good I learned from the family, but many people, they go pray in the morning, they go to temples and pray, but when they come out, they think God is separate, he sits in the temple, and you have to be good to that God, but rest of the world is not a part of the God or creation. So then they don't treat other people well. And that was the biggest problem I had. I felt that whatever I do, I have to share with others. The goodness comes. And when I come to USA, actually, I have a lot of respect for USA. Because living here for 47 years now, one thing so good in USA, any disasters, like look at now, this what is going on in Nepal, anywhere, people pour their heart. They like to go on the social media, go on the news media. And not only that, they are sharing their resources and sharing their resources with other needy people or needy situations. That is the biggest part of spirituality. So we might not label them that they are spiritual, but I always call it whatever we practice as a goodness, goodness takes you to godliness. And what is the difference between good and God? Good has two O's, G-O-O-D. And God has only one O, G-O-D. When we put the goodness, it leads us to God. And whatever you name God, you can call the God your inner voice, your goodness, You can call God Almighty, Universal Mind, whatever you label it. You can call him Jesus, Ram, whatever the label is, that's not the point, because every supreme power, supreme energy is God. That's what I look at it. But the connection between spirituality is just being a good, practicing goodness. That is the biggest lesson of spirituality. And I find a lot of goodness in USA, especially in people's heart. In this kind of time, you can tell how good people are. You look at Salvation Army. People are running around to help each other. So As I said, of course, people might not be aware of it that they're practicing. And also there is people are totally ignorant about spirituality or totally ignorant of goodness also. This whole universe is made with two energies, positive and negative. And the third one is in between. So you will find all kind of people, negative or positive, or even not the people. Think about ourselves. We have those two energies within ourselves. Sometimes, no matter how good we do, how much wisdom we have, there is some negative energy, whether it comes from within or we draw it from the external world. But we do get affected, and we do have a positive part, and then we try to align it by being living in the awareness, and we live in the neutral part, which is the best part. And the people in India, also, there are many circumstances happens. Everything is not rosy. Everything is not spiritual. There are a lot of situations and conditions of life. But as you said, why people are happy? We go to villages there. And people might have a smallest place to live just to cover their head from the weather, rain and heat weather and all that. And might not have that many pair of clothes, maybe two pieces of sarees or two pair of clothes, just to one wash and one wear, and just enough food to eat. Those people will be very happy because...
I'm going to stop you right there because we're getting into a lot of things. Now we're talking about people around the world, and I really want to hone it back in to self. But the last thing that you said is very, very powerful, which is... Some people have two pairs of clothing, one they wash, one they wear, a small house, and they can still be happy. And that is really, really important. Another thing I want to say, thank you so much, Jay, for your contribution. Another thing I want to say is this blissful living that Jay was talking about, blissful living. Bliss, listen, these words are man-made words. These words, bliss, positive, negative, this is man. This is not universal language. I don't believe that there's negative and positive energy. What I do believe is that there's compatible energy, energy that flows with other energies and energy that maybe doesn't flow, energy that's compatible and energy that's not, energy that attracts and energy that doesn't attract. So I really try to get away from the labeling man-made labels because those are not universal terms. But I totally understand what you're saying because one of the things I like to back to the blissful living. Listen, self-proclaimed happiness specialist here, and what does that mean, blissful living? Well, you said it, Satya. It means being aware. Being conscious, no matter what's happening, whether you're laying on your back, whether you only have one pair of clothing, whether you are healthy, whether you, whatever situation you find yourself in, when you are aware of the bigger picture or the bigger order of the universe, it is blissful. It is blissful, even if you're on your back. This bliss has this connotation that everything is wonderful and I feel so great. But guess what? That's programmed also. One of the things that I've been practicing is, okay, I find myself in a situation, well, maybe I don't, my eyes say there's something wrong with this, my feeling, oh, this doesn't feel right. But switching it and saying, no, this is what bliss is. Losing a job, I know this is crazy, losing a job or on your back, that's bliss when you are aware that everything is in order. The universe does not make mistakes, and everything is happening for a wonderful, perfect reason. What do you think about them apples, Satya?
As I said, I fully agree with you on whatever you said, and I also respect what you see, what you feel the energy and how you define the energy, which is very good. That at least you know there is a different vocabulary you can label. As I said from very beginning, we have many different words to explain or say the same word for convenience of our own language. We use a different terminology, but basically we are saying the same thing.
Have you found that words are very limiting, trying to express that they're really limiting? And one of the things I love to communicate with people with just my energy without using words. Can you speak on that? Just communicating without using words, but your energy is communicating.
Exactly. We are nothing but energy. Matter and energy, that is called metaphysics. Mm-hmm. So my physical body is the matter, and the what flows inside the body, we can say the energy, the breath, whatever goes which makes me alive, that is the energy. And combined, both of them are needed in this world. We have to have a proper body to flow this energy, and we need the energy. So in other words, we have to have a mind which is unblocked so the energy can flow properly, and that's where we can get the connection. If I am negative, in other words, I might not use a negative word here, but if I am thinking something which is kind of not right,
okay, I love those. I get it.
I am using your terminology, which is not right, not speaking correctly with me. What would happen? My system will not accept it, and I will feel unhappy. When I am unhappy or my system is not accepting, my system starts creating the toxins in my body. Mm-hmm. Now the science part comes. Now these toxins are eating up my immune system, raising my blood pressure, giving me insomnia. I would not be able to sleep. And this yoga, meditation, good thinking, doing the righteous things, which is the exercises, whatever you call it, or the sharing with other people and feeling good about all these things, we call it spiritual practices. Even giving a smile to me is a spiritual practice because it helps you, your face, it removes your wrinkles, it gives you happiness from inside. All these things create the endorphins, the healing element in your body.
Mm.
And when we are healed, we are happy. The key is to practice the righteousness. Now, what is right? That becomes a big question. If I am speaking to you and I am respectful to whatever you are saying, that is the righteous way to speak to someone.
Now we're really getting down to it, because it's respecting, and I have a chapter in my book. It's called Your Opinion is My Opinion, and it's just accepting other people, their beliefs, and allowing them to express it without judgments, without any type of trying to change them or trying to make them see your point. I love that, of course. Yes. I have another question for you. And if you feel comfortable answering it, yes. And if you don't feel comfortable, you still have to answer. No, I'm just kidding. The question is, what are your let's use the word challenges or lessons. What are you learning about you today? What are some of the things that would you like to share that are specific and personal to you that you would share that you're practicing today?
I'm glad you asked that question, and I would love to answer that.
Yay!
Because I have a biggest challenge right now that it's a challenge, or I would say it's a blessing. But anything to exercise it, it becomes a challenge because there is a lot of activities involved with that. And sometimes that is mind-boggling. So about on December 8th, I was in the plane. I had attended a big function in Delhi, December 7th, and that was the 5,151-year celebration of Bhagavad Gita. I don't know if you heard the name of Bhagavad Gita, which is our holy book.
Yeah.
So it was a celebration, and I was invited there to speak in front of 40,000 people.
Ooh-wee!
And when I was coming back on the 8th, of December, and I said, look, in the plane, all of a sudden the message came that I should carry on the same spirit and do something back home in USA. And so the seed was planted. And message came, I should have this, we call it Jayanti, Gita Jayanti here. But then I said, it's only December 7th. I mean, that particular year, it was December 7th. I said, so that by the time I get around it, it will be later. So I named that function International Gita Conference. So I kind of message came, okay, I'm going to arrange the Gita International Conference. Okay, I made the commitment. I started it. And I did not realize how much work is going to be. Okay, I took that commitment. I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I start working on it. And I still do not have a, now my team is building because it is on July 18th in Sunnyvale, California. But challenge, I had to invite the speakers from all over the world. I had to send the letters. I had to have a space to run this, and I had to have the resources, which I am still working on it. I don't have all the resources for that. But I took that commitment, and every day is a challenge. And I asked myself, okay, God, what do you want me to do here? You have something you are teaching me through this conference. Maybe I am going to have a big network. Also, I have been kind of helping other people, and I never ask for donations or resources or money from other people to run anything because people donate. Because I have an organization, and we support a lot of philanthropic causes, but I have like 12 bestseller books in the market. And I give the workshops and whatever. I have devoted 100% of my time toward whatever I do, and whatever resources come and the funds come, I give 100% to the community or the support the causes, and I don't take any money because, as I said, God is good to me, so I don't need the money from by doing these things. So I just did that. Now I have to ask for the donation from other people. And I say, wait, this is what the biggest lesson God is teaching me, that you are on the other end. Now you are asking for donation or something. There is some ego involved, right? I'm asking for it. So maybe God is asking me to dissolve this ego of not asking for help or the other people's resources. So I start talking to people now, and I was talking to my son, and first thing I said, how is your income tax situation? Can you write me a check for this conference, can you donate some money? He was laughing. He says, Mom, you don't ask for this like this. I said, then he was joking. He says, Mom, you have been in the sales. Use your sales techniques and ask for donations accordingly. Don't ask like, oh, do you have any tax situation where I can help you out? Yeah, I was just joking with it. I said, you are my son, so I can ask you. The point here is, my biggest challenge is to put this conference together, and we have now wonderful speakers. Even yesterday I got the confirmation from the congresswoman, Tulsi Gabbard. She's the congresswoman of Hawaii. And she practices the Bhagavad Gita. She is American Hindu. She practices the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So she accepted as one of my keynote speakers. So things are coming now, and people are coming forward also because they know I'm doing something good, and people say, oh, you are doing such a good work. And I say, okay, can you be on my team? So the point here is this is my biggest challenge right now, and my biggest challenge is not just a challenge to have the conference. I am being very observed by here, and I look, I say, God, what message do you have? Almighty, what message do you have here for me? What do you want me to learn through this process? You must have something in mind for me to raise my conscious level during this process. And there are certain blockages must be there, which you have assigned me this assignment, and asking me to go through this process and be observant and find out what are my blockages, because there are a lot of things that are going to happen during this conference which my system might not like it or accept it. Those will be the I would say those will be the points which I need to work on it. So
okay, you said a few things, but let me just capsulize it, only because we're coming to the end of the hour. But you said that you've never asked for help, and you ask for money or ask for resources or just to ask, and you've always been giving. That's really, really, really a good one, because it is all ego. It is all ego, not asking for help. And just to, what I found for me is, anything that is going to not allow me to be, in other words, that is interfering with me experiencing even more happiness. And when I say happiness, I'm really talking about an internal contentment, an internal peace. So whatever is going to take away from that, the universe always exposes it in my life. It always just puts a huge spotlight on it. And asking for money, I can say that when I have to ask my mother for something, or asking anyone for help, it's just not my nature, but the universe puts me in all of these situations to learn lessons. You talked about this conference that's coming up, and I'm wondering, how come I wasn't invited to speak? But we'll talk about that later. Probably because we just met.
Yeah.
But
please let's talk, okay?
Yeah, what I really wanted to say is I put on so many events. It's one of the I love to put on events. I've put on talent shows, events for personal people, events for business. I am quote unquote another event planner. But one of the things that I had to learn, my dear, is to put on an event without the stress. Put on the event with this calmness. Put on the event without this energy that I'm, oh, this didn't happen, and now everything's ruined. I mean, that's how I spent the beginning years when I was putting events on and having this energy of get out of my way, this has to be done, that kind of thing. But now I learned through what you said earlier, practice, focus, is that I can still be accomplished and have a huge event with thousands of people, but I can remain calm because I know that whatever happens, number one, doesn't have to be perfect. And honestly, it is perfect, whatever happens. So it's just a totally different way of thinking and different way of being surrounded by the real world.
Can I make one comment?
Yes. Please.
Yes. You mentioned I'm not invited. Seems like, yes, at the mundane, the physical level, you are not invited. But God has put us together this, and I'm talking about this event, and you made the comment, how come I'm not invited? It means your heart is coming there. So it is the divine plan of us having this, I am coming on this radio program, and we are talking about this conference. So
that's
he
right.
has a bigger plan for us, okay? You might not be invited, but he's inviting you through this, our conversation.
I said that kind of tongue in cheek and jokingly. If you know me, and believe me, I totally agree. We're connected for a reason, and yes, I said it jokingly, but yes, you're right. We're all, this is one world. We're all united. We're all invited to experience all of it. I totally get that. Can you share with my audience your event, if you're inviting people from the public, and also where they can find you, your website, your programs? I loved our conversation. The hour just went by faster than I can even, it just zipped on by, and that always happens when the guest is really open and sharing with really important points. So please share with my audience where they can contact you, Satya.
They can contact me through satya@pathtoanandam.org. That is my email, pathtoanandam, pathtoanandam.org. They can contact me through that, through my website, and also the conference. Is other point is the one-day conference, and the free registration and free food, and everybody is invited. But registration is must, because we have a limited space of 1,000 people.
Mm.
We have a lot of guests, people coming. So please go on our website, and you can send me the email. And it is also on the Facebook. International Gita Conference is on the Facebook for July 18th. So you can go to the Facebook and register. You can register through our website and just get in touch with me.
I love it. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to have you on the show. I appreciate what you shared. We are related. We're all related, but we're really related because our main focus, my main focus is happiness, is internal happiness, and it has been for decades of my life, and it seems like we have that in common, right?
We all came from one source, and we all have a lot of common things. We just have to recognize it. That's right.
That's absolutely right.
And I would just close it. I mean, you want to close it, but I have a small 10-second word to say at the end of every show, which I said.
Please.
Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Peace, Peace, Peace. Peace for my body, peace for my mind, and peace for the universe. May God bring peace in everybody's life. And please also help the suffering souls right now in Nepal. And thank you very much. And thank you to the universe. Thank you to you also for bringing me on this show. And at the same time, thank you to the audience for listening to us. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we're going to end it just like that. Thank you so much. Reality Spirituality is heard every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And tomorrow, we're going to have a show. It's called Ask Rebecca Anything. Tomorrow, Ask Rebecca Anything at 7 a.m. And I want you to remember, my dear audience, you are a physical extension of the universe. You're always growing. You're always changing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient, and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. And remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. We're going to connect again tomorrow. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's the newest spirit.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.